Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Everett Fritz, part two. He'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Everett Fritz. He is the founder of Andrew Ministries. So this is the second show we're doing with him. We had a great conversation last week. He's going to continue that discussion and tell us more about what's needed for authentic youth ministry.
And really, it's a show you don't want to miss because Everett has so much experience and knowledge behind him that he really wants to share and get out. And it's a message we need to hear today. So we're now going to a reflection with Everett.
Why do young people leave the church? The reality is there's a whole host of reasons why, and we could go down the list, but if I were to summarize everything in one statement, I would say that young people leave the church because their basic needs are not being met. Abraham Maslow had this theory of psychology known as the hierarchy of needs, where he said that a person doesn't move to a point of self-actualization unless their basic needs are met. So according to Maslow, if you were stranded on a deserted island, the self-actualization step is, how do I get off this island? But according to Maslow, you don't even think about that instinctually. What your first instinct is, I need food, water, fire, shelter. And then once those basic needs are met, you move to the point of, okay, how do I get off this island? For our purposes in working with young people in the church, the self-actualization step that we want them to get to is that I am choosing to follow Jesus Christ, that this is my faith and not my parents' faith or my catechist's faith or my pastor's faith or anybody else's faith. It's my faith. And according to Maslow, a young person will never get to that point unless their basic needs are met first. So what is the basic need of a human person, in particular young people? Well, they have a need to be understood. They have a need to belong. They have a need to be transparent about what's going on in their life. They have a need for critical thinking, keyword critical thinking around faith and beliefs. And they have a need for guidance in their life. If you meet those five needs, you will find that more times than not, you get a young person to a self-actualization step. How do you meet those needs? What I find is that the best way to do so is develop youth ministries or ministries in your parishes that are focused in on relationship and maximize that outcome. You don't need a big budget to do youth ministry. You don't need a big staff. You don't need somebody with a huge theological training. You need people who will pour into relationships with young people.
Well, Everett, welcome back to Life on the Rock.
Thanks. And, thanks for having me back.
You've been talking about Andrew Ministries, and you work a lot with just the youth, parish ministry and the youth, and really reaching out to those Catholics, those young Catholics that have fallen away from the faith, trying to learn, and really bring them back to the church, to a love of Christ and His church. But you've also been involved with youth ministry for a good number of years, 18, close to 20. Can you tell us about how maybe parish ministry, working with the youth, how that landscape has changed?
Yeah, so I started working in youth ministry in 2006.
Okay.
And now it's 2024, so it's been a minute.
Yeah.
And there's, what's interesting about youth culture is that the joke is like, if you go to school to learn about youth ministry, by the time you graduate, everything in youth ministry has changed. while you were in school. So if you're an older generation, frequently I'll work with older generations that'll say, hey, in my day we did this. And I'll say, okay, but it's not your day anymore. Young people have drastically changed.
Yeah.
For example, one of the things that I see is that just a tangible example, like young people don't come to something now unless their affinity group is also coming with them. So if you say, hey, we're throwing a function at the parish, the young people will text their friends and say, are you going to this? Where it used to be that you could throw a function at a parish and young people would come to build an affinity
yeah.
group. So
it was the meeting ground.
Right, yeah. It was the meeting ground. And it's like nowadays, it's like trying to create a meeting ground is obsolete. They don't come unless their friends are also coming with them. Another thing that you'll see change that is significant is that I find that large group community is not a felt need of this generation. So, for example, the large group atmosphere, the large youth group, and I'm a believer in youth groups, but it's not necessarily part of our methodology in terms of what we do in coaching youth ministry. But all of that to say, like, young people are not attracted to coming to large functions where a lot of young people are, because they're constantly connected to young, to other young people through social media, through their phones, etc. What the phone doesn't provide is close, intimate relationships where you can have authentic conversations and actually get advice and guidance. And so what we provide is that very environment. We do a youth ministry through small groups. We put two adults with five to six young people, and they build close, intimate relationships. And then these youth ministries tend to blow up where we have 10, 15, 20 small groups in a parish. People will ask me, how did you get the youth ministry to grow so rapidly? Because on average, when we work with a parish, their youth ministry participation grows threefold within a year. And I say, it's really simple. Is that you're actually meeting the felt need of young people. So the best growth tactic is the teenager says, this is really good. I'm going to tell my friends about it. And they grow by word of mouth. So it's meet the needs, and things tend to grow.
Because I remember, like, whenever I was in high school, things like YouTube and Facebook, that was all very new.
Facebook, you mentioned, it's like Facebook is obsolete among young people. It's like
it's just kind of,
that's where my generation hangs out.
It was just something that, you know, I think the tech world has really changed a lot with the way young people think and just maybe the direction of their lives. But one of the things,
I have teenagers at home. Like, I remember growing up watching sitcoms, for example. Like, it was a common thing to sit down and watch a 30-minute television show. I could not pay my children money to sit down and watch a sitcom. Like, they're not going to watch a 30-minute television show. No, they'll watch a 3-minute YouTube clip.
That's interesting.
The processing of information, which maybe doesn't speak very highly of my own children. I'm sorry if they're watching. but there is a reality of, like, even just the way they consume information is different. This also, it's a bit of a, if you look at the Catholic Church, the primary way we form young people in the church today is still CCD, which stands for Confraternity of Christian Doctrine. Do you, any guess, just out of curiosity, do you have any, do you know when the Confraternity of Christian Doctrine was started and founded?
I want to say over a century ago or so, maybe, I don't know.
Okay, so like 100 years ago?
Maybe even before that.
Okay, 1562.
1562.
So 450 years ago, the method of formation that we use primarily in the church today is 450 years old. I think young people have changed just a little bit in the last 450 years. I mean, and you wonder why we don't get the kinds of results that we're looking for with young people. It's like you have to adapt to what the landscape looks like. It's mission territory. Young people quite literally are a new missionary field. They're a new culture, and so it requires a missionary to go in and learn the language of the people and actually start to build relationships with that culture and then evangelize within it.
Well, I think there's a very unique dynamic in that, because I remember, like, whenever I was in high school, like, I never wanted to be in a classroom, and I never really had just a desire to learn the faith. To me, that was like, not for me kind of thing. But then in college, it's like something in your brain kind of switches. And now it's like, no, I do want to know. You know, it's very, this doesn't, you know, make sense. I need it to make sense to me in my life in order for me to move forward. And so I think there's a very interesting way, because whenever we think about youth, just where a high schooler is at, where a college student is at, and where a young person in their early 20s who's left college, now working a job, maybe raising a family, is that those are very different. Those come with very different mentalities, I think, of where a, just a person is in their life, or what maybe they're looking for. How do you kind of approach those maybe differences within those groups?
I think, you know, it's interesting. Like, I've never met a person who doesn't have curiosity about religion. Like if I'm on an airplane, for example, and somebody asks me, what do you do for a living? And usually, honestly, I'm like the worst airplane evangelist. I'm usually like, leave me alone. But like I'll say, oh, I do church work. I work in a ministry, work with young people. And immediately, like that'll strike up a conversation. People are curious. And they have all kinds of opinions and they have all kinds of experiences and things of that nature. Seldom do I meet a person that isn't curious or has their own opinion around religion. So, you know, this is part of, I feel like, what God plants in each individual heart is like, look, the Lord is chasing after every person individually. And so much of successful ministry is more about cooperating with what God is doing with that person than it is about coming up with some sort of new strategy or means or what. It's just learning to cooperate with that. But when a person starts asking questions and starts pondering the deeper things of life, because God has placed that on their heart, who are they going to go ask questions to? Likely someone they have a relationship with.
Sure. Yeah.
So the best thing you can do is facilitate that relationship with someone who can articulate the faith, who lives the faith, et cetera, because when those questions start to come up, or even when you place them in environments where the questions just naturally come up, that's when they start to get their questions answered, and that's a good thing. I like to say that in the Catholic Church, we do a tremendous job of answering the questions that teens do not have. we don't do a good job of answering the questions that they do have. And so much of what formation looks like is, you could imagine, let's say you're sitting in a classroom like you were talking about, and maybe you're struggling with, I don't even know if I believe in God.
Right.
And the teacher's like, well, today the lesson is on the sacrament of confirmation. And it's like, why are you covering that if they don't know if they believe in God?
Right. And I do believe, just as a catechist, you have to kind of be prepared for the unexpected.
Right.
You know, of just having, because I know, like you were saying, going into the airport, anytime we go in the airport, somebody usually is like, what is this?
Right.
You know,
you've got a walking billboard sign that says, like, bother me with questions.
Exactly.
Yeah, on you.
It's always, you know, there's a hunger there. There is a thirst to know that knowledge that people are seeking. But Everett, we have to go to a break, but whenever we get back, let's get more into it.
Okay.
Well, Everett, can you tell us a little bit about how big Andrew Ministries is?
Yeah, I'm a small grassroots startup organization. I started in 2016. I was running youth ministries myself and was experimenting with and finding tremendous success doing something different than what the rest of the field was doing, building small groups that were meeting exclusively on their own in places like coffee shops or parks or comfortable environments. And that was the primary foundational piece of our ministry. And then next thing I knew, I started getting a request of, hey, can you teach us to do this? And so it became a consulting side hustle. Mm. And then I wrote a book, it's sitting actually there on the table, that said, hey, everything we're doing in youth ministry is not working and is ineffective. Essentially, the art of forming young disciples, why youth ministries aren't working and what to do about it. COVID happened and everybody's youth ministries fell apart and people started to say to themselves, I read this book written by this guy who said, everybody's youth ministries are gonna fall apart. And my phone started ringing off the hook. And so really in the last year, I've just gone all in on coaching and consulting and building up this ministry, because there is such high demand for parishes and dioceses that are looking for something different because they recognize what we're doing with young people is not working.
Yeah. So you go into these parishes or schools mainly?
Currently my work as of this filming of this segment is I'm in a couple years of work with the Archdiocese of Boston. I'm working in Colorado Springs Diocese. I'm going to start working in Australia with a diocese out in Melbourne. I'm fielding phone calls from six different countries and really from all over the country. And so right now we're maxed to capacity in terms of what I can handle and are beginning a process of building up the apostolate to develop our own resources, our own training, bringing on additional coaches because the demand is so high.
And what do you, maybe what what do you hope for in the future with Andrew Ministries? What do you really
The problem we're trying to fix is young people leaving the church.
Okay.
And I stumbled upon, look, the youth ministries that we work with grow typically on average participation threefold within a year. We have many that have grown tenfold. On average, I mean, it is not unusual for our clients to say to us, hey, several years down the road, we've noticed 80 to 90% of the young people that we discipled in a small group are still active Catholics, and they're actually plugging back into ministries, vocations are coming out of it. Like, the results have been tremendous. All we're doing is meeting the felt need of young people today. We're providing intimate relationships, we're providing guidance, we're finding the faithful Catholics in the pews, we're putting young people in relationship with them. It's extremely simple and is able to be duplicated by anybody. And so where we want to go is, the problem that we're passionate about is young people are leaving the church. And despite all the efforts put in a variety of different fields, and many of them great efforts, the stats haven't changed. We're looking at a collapse in the United States in the next 20, 30 years, because there's just not a sustainability. Mm-hmm. The young people that are leaving are not filling in the ranks as the older generations are ascending to heaven. So this is a problem that we're trying to bring people's attention to, that there's a cliff that is coming.
Yeah.
And there's a solution that anyone is capable of, and it really is just return to the way that Jesus did things.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus focused on discipleship. He focused on 12. And when you focus small, you actually grow big. And so the desire really is to say, hey, we want to meet the needs of young people in our church today.
Yeah.
And we teach people on how to do that effectively.
I know in the last segment, you had talked about how young people, they know quite a bit about the faith. But what do you see are some of the factors that pull people away from faith?
Sure. I mean, there are all kinds of things. I mean, most of the factors that you can point to are the things that we know of. We know about the secular culture.
Right.
We know about parents and families falling apart.
Right.
We know about, in some cases, poor catechesis. But generally speaking, like, if somebody were to ask me, hey, could you identify why do young people leave the church, and say it in one sentence, I say it's because the church doesn't meet the needs of young people.
Mm-hmm.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs is the idea that a person doesn't move to a point of self-actualization unless their basic needs are met. So basic needs, an example would be, according to Maslow, if you were stranded on a deserted island, your first instinct is, I need food, water, fire, shelter. It's not, how do I get off this island? For our purposes in ministry, the self-actualization step is, we want young people to get to a point where they say, this is not my parents' faith, it's not my pastor's faith, it's not my teacher's faith or my catechist's faith, it's my faith.
Right.
That's a self-actualization step. And according to Maslow, a young person won't get to that, or any person won't get to that, unless their basic needs are met first. You could say that they have a need to be understood, they have a need to belong, they have a need to be able to be transparent around what's going on in their life. They have a need for critical thinking around faith and beliefs, and they have a need for guidance in their life.
Right.
In particular, young people have a need for guidance in their
life. A lot of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We provide an environment where we're meeting those basic needs, and we're finding they get to that self-actualization step.
Yeah. That is very interesting, because I know a lot of people, young times, you're at that age where you're actually thinking about a lot of things, a lot of life decisions, relationships, and just that whole guidance factor. You need good mentors.
Right.
What is that role of mentorship? What does that kind of look like?
Well, think about it this way. If Susie, I pick on Susie all the time. If Susie has a dating relationship and she's been dating her boyfriend for 6 months and she's 16 years old, and her boyfriend wants to bring their relationship to the next level intimately, you can imagine what that means. Who does she go to for advice frequently? Does she go to her parents for advice? Which would be a good place to go for advice, or a trusted adult who's lived these kinds of things before? Mm-hmm. Or does she go to her friend Mary, who's had 14 relationships and she's 16 years old?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like, that's a terrible person to ask for advice.
Yeah.
Like, they've had 14 failed relationships.
Yeah.
And they're 16 years old.
But somehow that makes sense.
Right, but somehow that makes sense,
yeah.
Right. The role of guidance in a young person's life, like, there have been all kinds of studies that have shown that we think teenagers today are trying to pull away from their parents and adults. And to some respects, that's true, because they're learning to become their own individual persons.
Right.
But if you actually, like, every survey of young people has shown that overwhelmingly they say the thing they want more of in their life is a better relationship with their parents or a meaningful relationship with an adult. Like, they're looking for guidance. I actually have a friend who works at Benedictine College who jokes that she keeps a tub of cookie dough on hand because the students just knock on her door and she just pulls out the cookie dough and starts, they spoon feeding it to them while they, while she gives them advice on what's going on in their life. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
I do think, yeah, that parent aspect, and I think there's a real blessing there when your parents do live the faith in a very authentic manner and just give that witness and example, because it's easy to stray from that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to really teach that, but you do have to teach the good.
Right.
On a daily basis.
Right.
And so just having that, just maybe in-house domestic formation, just, it goes a long way, you know, and that hopefully bears fruit in the parish life.
The number one, the greatest influence on the life of a young person is their parent. Mm. What frequently we will do is we build ministries. When we try to identify young people, the first people we go to are actually the parents, and we sell them on this idea, and then we build a relationship with those parents, try to help to start to bring faith into the home as well, and partner up with the parents to develop small groups, because again, like I could put a youth minister in the life of a teenager a couple hours a week, but that parent is going to have a greater impact on the life of their child more than anyone else.
Yeah. Well, Everett, we've run out of time, but I thank you for being on Life on the Rock.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So Everett is trying to take us on a different path from what the crisis we're heading into of so many young people leaving the church. And he makes the point those numbers are catastrophic. Yeah. We must do something about this. Just for the sake of the young people, the world's tearing them apart, you know, with their ideologies and their thinking. So we have the Holy Spirit, and I think, you know, what Everett's emphasizing too is we have this huge resources in all our parishes of just the people there that are faithful.
Yeah.
Because Jesus started small and it grew big.
Right, right.
So he's taking that model of focusing on a few in a parish to train them up to be mentors, to be facilitators of small groups, to witness to young people, to fix this crisis. Yeah.
I think too, one of the messages involved is, you know, making the faith your own, because that's something that occurs whenever you're young. It might happen when you're in high school, college, maybe as a young adult, father, new husband. And those things matter, you know, because we all kind of come to a faith at a different maybe level or understanding. And I always just kind of think, you know, whenever you're young, the playing field is pretty diverse. You know, some people are maybe drawn to pray and do devotions. Others want to learn and study, while others want to be hands-on. They want to help. They want to be at the, you know, just serving people, working with people. And those are all great things. So sometimes I always kind of believe go where their interest is kind of already leaning and build, because there's so many ways to communicate the faith, to teach the faith. But again, just those principal needs, that are we meeting those needs that where young people is at?
Yeah, it kind of really clicked with me about what he said the previous show too, but you know, in interviewing young people that left the church, a lot of them were decently catechized, but they didn't see it witnessed to, they didn't see it lived out. And I experienced that in a parish not that long ago. I gave a talk, and I could tell the young people knew what I was saying. You know, so it was, they're there, they're hungering for something more of maybe some kind of common life, some kind of experience of sharing this faith with another person. And they need guidance, as you made the point. I mean, I think you realize that too as you get older even. You need mentors, you need guides in your life to help you navigate the difficulties that come at you in life. But we'll send you into that mission field with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill your hearts with His Holy Spirit to evangelize and to spread the faith, especially to our young people. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.